Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, the final one from Peoria, Arizona for me, Kevin AC Padres beat writer, my boss, Jay Posner, in San Diego. Jay.
Kevin, it feels like you just got to Arizona. What do you mean?
It doesn't.
You're leaving
Jay?
Already? Wasn't it just like a week or 6 months ago that you got there?
It is the funniest thing, and you alluded to it, but it's like, I mean, it's Groundhog Day here, man. And it was funny. Like, I was telling someone the other day, I've just now allowed myself, it was earlier this week, and just at the turn of the week, like Sunday or Monday, counting the days. Because before that, you do not want to count the days because it's Groundhog Day
right.
here. And
right.
That's not a complaint. I mean, I absolutely love it. But you are aware that you've been here for 5 weeks and that a six-month season is yet ahead. And you know what? You can feel it in the clubhouse. First of all, the clubhouse is empty. It's just what it is. Guys are built up, and now they're just kind of trying to tune up so their days aren't as long. But they're in better moods. They're happy. Everybody's excited for the season. There's like this happy, relaxed intensity because it's like, here we go. And that's where we're at. And it's actually, for once, Jay, exciting. I don't think you or I are either in any delusions of how far this team might go as it is presently constructed in 2019, but there is at least excitement.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're excited, and I would think most fans are excited about seeing something different and seeing the start of something. Whether you know any dreams are fulfilled this year, and in terms of even going to the playoffs, is something that remains to be seen and admittedly a long shot, but it will be such a disappointment if we don't get the sense during the season that the Padres are at least on their way to being relevant again. It's been so long. I mean, really, it's been,
yeah.
I mean, if you discount the 2015 offseason and first couple weeks of that season, it's really been since the 2010 season that the Padres were relevant. And that was a weird season because it kind of came. I know you weren't even involved in baseball then, probably didn't even know it existed, but that was a weird season because it kind of came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, the Padres are contending, and wait, it's August and they're still contending. And now they just traded away Corey Kluber. Oh wait, well, we didn't know what kind of trade that would be. But anyway, I do think this season feels like the start of something. And I know that I'm excited. And I do want to mention early on before people start clicking off that we do have a 24-page baseball section that will be in Sunday's paper. And I think it's worth the $2 or $3 or whatever we charge on Sunday to pick one up. Our designer did a great job. You did a great job. All the other writers that contributed. We have 3 pages full of Padre memories, a dozen staff members giving our most
wow.
most memorable moments. You know, from Steve Garvey's home run to Albert Pujols almost single-handedly taking out the Padres' battery one night at Petco. So just different oddball things. I think it's great. We've got a calendar of all the games with some schedule analysis from you. We've got player previews for the big league roster. Jeff Sanders has his minor league preview. So and then division by division previews of all the. All the teams in the leagues, or in both leagues. So I think I want to mention that people will be able to pick that up on Sunday, and we'll get most of it online, but it really should be seen in print this week.
I think the cover is very cool, and yes, I'm going to pick that up. Oh, wait, I subscribe to the paper. I'll walk to the end. Oh, wait, I won't be home. Okay, well, I'll have my wife say this.
And you have have the e-edition, which, of course, people
I
can always
every day.
Look at. So,
I check it every day.
Okay, so enough with the sales
Way to go, Jay.
The sales part. Where do we want to start with the rotation today? Where do things stand?
I think largely, you know, a lot of stuff still to be seen, but this begins and ends with the rotation. And I think it's set. I really do. For sure. Eric Lauer, Joey Lucchesi, Matt Strom, Chris Paddock. And I think that I did that out of order, that Lucchesi will start on opening day.
You have no doubt that Paddock will be with the big club at the start. There's no indication that they're going to mess with anything or any of that stuff. He's going to be pitching in that first home stand at Petco.
The way that things are being couched, and one of them is that it was pointed out to me by a couple people in the organization a couple weeks ago, different times, that, look, there's a lot of ways to, if that you were going to somehow, I don't want to use the word manipulate, but if you were going to somehow manipulate a guy's service time
right.
with a pitcher in particular, several ways to do that, and actually couched by them as a way to get him rest by sending him down, okay? Uh-huh. And it's totally legitimate. You can do that with a pitcher very easily. Does not have to be at the beginning of the season. Another thing is, Andy Green has left no doubt. Now, Andy Green, who can talk around anything, I have incredible respect. I've covered a lot of liars, and I've covered a lot of liars by omission. Well, Andy Green is a master of telling the truth without telling you anything. Right. He doesn't lie. But what he says about Chris Paddock is there's nothing more he could have done, that he has been excellent. He has impressed us. Well, all the things that he's said put together, and he's very careful about what he says, if they don't put this guy in the rotation, then they're doing a crime against Chris Paddock.
And, right. Yeah, I mean, what does that say about their word at that point? So
Joey Lucchese has been magnificent, but Chris Paddock is right up there with him as having been the most impressive pitcher in camp on a consistent basis. So no doubt in my mind. I think it's Logan Allen, but Cal Quantrill could be in it too, and I believe, and I haven't been able to get a hold of him, and there's an off day for the Padres today, and I think that they're in meetings, and he very well just might be ignoring me. Sometimes that happens. But I believe that while Andy essentially said no six-man rotation earlier in the spring and then reiterated it a couple weeks ago, I believe he left the door open for something of a six-man rotation the other day, but I'll keep following up on that.
Okay. Well, I think that's interesting, and I mean, it's obviously an extremely young rotation, but you know, you watch these guys pitch, and again, it's spring training, so who knows? But I mean, Lucchese showed, and Lauer both showed great poise last year, I thought, most of the time. Paddock's done that, and you and I have talked, I mean, last year and this year, about Matt Strom and how much we think this guy could be a legitimate, you know, number two, number three type starter in the big leagues. And we haven't seen anything in the spring to dissuade either of us that could still be the case. So I'm excited about seeing especially Strom and Paddock. But, you know, we've seen Lucchese and Lauer, but I'm excited to see the new guys. And you know, whether it's Allen or Quantrill, I'm excited to see either one of those guys and sort of where they are at this point.
Well, Logan Allen, I believe he makes it on the strength of what he has done in the minor leagues and the attitude he has and his stuff that he's shown. His results have not been phenomenal. Cal Quantrill, if he's here early, I think it's because they want him to be. You know what I'm saying? We're like, hey, we're going to find out what this guy has. And so I do think it's Logan Allen. Matt Strom yesterday, Jay, and you said it, we've been, you know, they've been high on him. You and I, we don't matter, but we've been high on him. His stuff is electric. It really is. And yesterday, without command of his fastball, not to get too deep in the weeds, but I think this is huge because Matt Strom is going to be on a workload limit, okay? This fastball is sometimes so overwhelming that, you know, it runs about mid-90s, but it moves like crazy. And he gets his pitch count too high. And it's like, oh, man, is this guy going to make it 4 or 5? Is he going to get into the 6th, help out the bullpen? He's going to get pulled after, you know, 80, 90 pitches. I'm not saying he'll never get to 100.
Right.
But yesterday, in his final start, he went 5 innings, then went to the bullpen and threw 12 or 15 more pitches. His fastball wasn't working, so he's using his 2 sliders, his changeup, his curve. Guess what? His pitch count stayed down because he wasn't striking out, guys. It was a learning moment. Like, man, if his secondary stuff is on, I mean, this guy is just – really, Matt Strom is going to be a filthy starter for the
right.
Padres. I think. I think that the evidence is there.
Okay, now, so that's pretty much the rotation. The bullpen now, obviously weaker without Strom. So
weaker without Jose Castillo.
And without Castillo, who also was impressive almost all last season, a couple bad outings, which, of course, can be expected. Where are we on the bullpen? I mean, obviously, Yates and Stammen figure at the back.
Yep.
Where else are we going for the other, what, six guys? Are we going to look at 13-man staff at the start?
Yeah, it's going to go with 8, I would say, basically,
okay.
for sure. Okay, Phil Maton's been really good. I think he makes it at the start. A little stumble the last couple, but really, he's looked fantastic. Robert Stock certainly gets a chance to continue to show that he can find the strike zone with the amount the velocity he throws at and the amount of innings he can give you. And I believe that. So we're at 4.
So Adam Warren, I assume.
Adam Warren and Aaron Loop are in there, and mm-hmm. So we're at 6. I got to tell you, and I know that people aren't going to like this, Brian Mitchell What did you watch it, Jay? You probably weren't watching an exhibition game in the ninth, in the eighth and ninth inning.
I was actually working, believe it or not.
The curve, the legendary curveball we were told about when they gave him the starting job when they got him in the Chase Headley trade. It was there.
It showed up.
You know, I said to him
about that.
I said to him, Brian, you know, like, be real honest, you know, it's getting late. It's a spring training game. You know, generally by that time, I'm just like, let's get this thing over. I thought, I was like, I mean, it really was looking good. And here's a guy who, if they can get him built up, let's say he goes three innings next time, to get him up to like 40 pitches or something, you know, this weekend, maybe that or a little more in Seattle. Brian Mitchell's a guy who can give you four innings out of the bullpen. So I got to say that I think Mitchell's going to be there, him or Perdomo. And then Robbie Erlin, I believe, now puts you at eight, if I'm
right,
if I'm not that, correct. I hope you were counting.
And that sends Wingenter to El Paso?
Oh, I'm sorry. No. That put me at seven, and Wingenter's there. If I didn't mention Wingenter, what a spring he's had. A kid who threw, you know, can hit 99, averages above 97. And this year, even when the fastball wasn't working, the slider is, you know, obviously that's going to be your power pitcher, you know, out of the bullpen. That's going to be his next pitch. And it was working this year. I got to tell you, it's what brought him up last year. And it looks like it's even gotten better. And so that's going to be big, man. Him and Stock being big is, I mean, it's paramount with Jose Castillo out at least a month. And I think you and I both have a suspicion that it could be longer.
I think we got one too many pitchers.
Oh, do I? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's how I wanted to start talking about the bullpen is it is crowded back there. It's an interesting thing. It got weaker. But they brought in these two veterans, Loop and Warren. So that takes two spots. They're going to be on the team. These are guys who know how to pitch. They believe they get an inning plus out of at least Warren. And they, you know, are going to try to have Loop. They've worked him longer this spring. So there's two. You got your four with Yates and Stam, and keep track, Jay. You got Stock, Maton. So I'm up to six. You got Erlin and Wingenter. And you're right. I don't know, Jay. It really, really is I think they need more length. So is it Maton who doesn't make it in favor of Mitchell? I guess we got I got five games to watch and,
right.
and wait for someone to tell me.
Yeah, because we've got excuse me, we've got nine on that list there.
Yep. So I just eliminated either Maton or Mitchell is my guess. Now keep an eye on Luis Perdomo. You know. Looking good in one inning outings. He really is. Now, it's funny that even within those innings, if something happens, he can lose it for a minute or two. He
right.
really can. You know, then he'll walk a batter or give up a line drive single. But then, oh, wait, Luis Perdomo's back, and he strikes out the next guy in four pitches. It's happened, I believe, two outings in a row now. So, but they don't have to worry about that over the course of a long, over the course of four, five, six innings. So they're trying to work Luis Perdomo into a, you know, sixth, seventh inning guy.
So is there a chance they only go with four outfielders to start with and send Franchi down?
So are you saying to add an extra
no,
pitcher,
I'm just,
or just independent of that?
I'm just thinking independent of that because we've got –
Here's why.
I'm looking at Garcia and mm-hmm. the four starting infielders and two catchers. And
well,
I'm starting to run out of bodies here.
Out of the three – Greg Garcia, Jose Pirella, and Francy Cordero, they all can't make it.
Right,
and here's
right.
what Jose Pirella has going for him. He plays infield and outfield. He has that going for him. And then you throw in that Franchi could use at bat. Now, Franchi is heated up. I believe something like 6-for-11 over the last four games. We know all he can do. Wrote about him. It's in today's paper, I believe. Earlier in the spring when you're like, oh, wow, Franchi lost more than half a season last year. He's not looking so good. Okay, well, you know, you can justify sending Franchi down. Well, now he's your only left-handed option off the bench.
Right. Exactly.
So I think Franchi's on the team, and I think now, okay, well, then maybe you don't need Jose Pirella, and Greg Garcia can play three infield positions. So, you know, you've got Luis Urias, who can play short and second. It's Garcia and Pirella to me that are going to be your decisions.
Okay, that makes sense because we do, yeah, at this point, looking at my list here, we've got one too many pitchers and one too many players.
Uh-huh.
And that's not even counting that we're just assuming that Tatis is going to El Paso. So,
and there has been zero pushback on that from anyone inside of the organization. Obviously, they're careful not to, you know, make it. They have their reasons for it. And I would say, truthfully, Jay, look, you put this guy on the team, it's not a bad thing. But I can't say, I mean, this guy wasn't Chris Bryant this spring.
Right.
He didn't hit 500 with 10 bombs. He chased pitches. He made mistakes on the base paths. You know, he can play in the major leagues right now. There is no question whatsoever. But they got Ian Kinsler for a reason. And part of that reason was to, or a couple reasons they got him, but part of that was so that Fernando Tatis could have a little more gestation in the minors.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, we've talked before, I don't see a big issue with that, with starting the season with him in the minors. And, you know, look, if he goes down to El Paso and in the first 3 weeks or whatever, he's hitting 450, you know, it's pretty easy, as Kevin Quackenbush could tell us, pretty easy to get a flight from El Paso to San Diego.
Without a doubt. It's tough because, man, on one hand, you go, you want the best players, you want the most exciting players. Well, you know, they got Manny Machado, and like I said, they got Ian Kinsler for a reason. It's like there's actually justification. This isn't last year. If Fernando Tatis Jr. was where he is now last year and they didn't put him up, we would have, like, beef, right?
Right.
We would say, you don't have anything else going on. This is not going to cost you a shot at the wild card. You know, what are you doing? Well, this year, they have a lot of reasons that we can't argue with. We really can't.
No, I would agree. And I did. I mentioned to you before we started taping that I wanted to bring up Machado on this. And the only reason is because everything seems to be very just kind of quiet, matter of fact. you know, not a lot coming out about him. What have you seen over these past 2-3 weeks about Manny? And I know we'll have he's all over our special section there's a column in there. There's a couple other things. And I know that, you know, I'm sure we'll have something else before the season starts, but
yes.
What have you seen from him, both on and off the field these last few weeks in Arizona?
Well, this will be a little bit of something that I'll write, but, certainly
don't give away the whole story, but give us a little tease, Kevin.
You could see my brain working, couldn't
exactly.
You could hear it, couldn't you?
I could hear it.
Okay,
I could
so
hear
what
it.
Do I say? What don't I say? No, the guy is a professional and he's a superstar. And what I mean by that is, like, you just see the way he goes about his work on the field when he's working at third base. It's different, man. It's structured. It's casual but intense. It's like, you know, and then the batting practice is like, man, not only is it impressive, it's like, oh, okay, oh, I see what he's working on here. This is line drives, okay. This is two strikes, got it, all right. And he's a superstar. Padres haven't had a superstar. You know, Trevor and Tony were, like, superstars, right? But they were San Diego superstars.
Right.
They came of age here, okay? And they knew all the media here, and they knew their neighbors, and they hadn't been other places. Well, Manny's been on the East Coast. Manny's been in four All-Star games. Manny, you know, represents Jordan. Manny's represented by one of the biggest agents in the game. When Manny does a Sports Illustrated interview, his publicist is right there listening to the whole thing, nodding, shaking head. Okay, Manny is a really good guy, it seems like. He has been very respectful, and he has not been any issue at all to have conversation with or talk with, but he's not around a lot either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unusual, but that's a very superstar thing. A, he's working on stuff all the time. B, he doesn't want to be around because he doesn't want to talk.
right,
he hangs
right.
out with Hosmer a lot. They play catch before every game. We got the 305 connection, all right? That's Miami for, mm-hmm. you know, for not the kids. you know, hangs out with Kinsler, but he also spends a lot of time with Fernando Tatis, talking with his walkers between Franchi and Franmil. They both, all three of them will talk, or the two of them will talk. Manny, obviously, is Dominican. He grew up in Miami. He speaks Spanish, you know, perfectly. And so a lot of the conversations that you hear him having are in Spanish, but he mixes well. Guys, one thing you can tell as a beat writer, you're going around, you're having conversations. When guys talk about other teammates, you can tell. But there still is this air of, holy crap, that's Manny Machado, man.
Right.
And that's the best way I can sum it up.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that's another reason to look forward to Thursday. And I know the game is already sold out, and I would expect big crowds over the weekend, but we will talk again. We will do one more of these before the season. We have to do our preseason special, which won't be special. It'll just be another one, but we'll call it a preseason special because that's what you do. But we will do that next week. Until then, enjoy your last weekend of Arizona weather, and
yes,
your 2 days in which I'm of Seattle weather, and then you'll be back here. And the early forecast is for sunshine next weekend in San Diego, so it should be a lot of fun. And we will talk to everyone next week.
I was thinking about that last week, Jay. Is like, you know, finally it's warmed up here. It had been very cold for a while, but since the game started, mostly been warm. And I remember those first 2 months at Petco. Chilly, one of the chilliest ballparks. Actually, it might be average game time temperature, might be the chilliest in baseball. Does that surprise you, Jay?
For a whole season, it could be. Yeah.
Yep.
It could be. And the other thing is that I think it's always chillier. This means nothing to most of the people listening. It's always chillier in that press box. There is never a day. I mean, it could be 90. I think maybe if it's 90, I might leave my jacket in the car in the press box. But otherwise, always have a jacket with you in that press box. So it always does feel
cool. We have one of the best seats.
We do.
But it's very cold.
And,
all right.
But it'll be great to have you back in town. And we will talk again next week.
Oh, that makes one of you that says that. Thanks, Jay. We'll talk to everybody later. Okay.